Good morning, good morning, good morning to all my Christ Today listeners. Thank you for listening. I want to encourage you to continue to listen. I hope every week you're blessed by every testimony that you've heard, every interesting piece of information that every guest has given. Our guest last week was none other than Tori Tip, and I got some good feedback about Tori Tip's program. And so this week we have Dane Boyden from Youth with a Mission up at Richardson Springs, California. And he's going to talk today, give his testimony, and talk about YWAM, Youth with a Mission. Good morning, Dane.
Good morning, Curtis.
How is Dane doing today?
Dane's doing relatively well.
Okay, so why don't you start in and tell us a little bit about where you came from, how you came into meeting Christ and getting involved in YWAM, and we can go from there.
I didn't come to receive and start a real relationship with the Lord until I was 30 years old. I'm 49 now. I had been hiking the Appalachian Trail. It's a walking trail from Georgia to the state of Maine back in my late 20s. It wasn't just the adventure. I did have a pretty big hole inside of my heart. Usually tried to fill that hole with codependent relationships with dynamic females. A couple of serious relationships. So
when you said hole in your heart, you didn't mean a physical hole, did you?
No, I should clarify. No, not a physical hole. I was able to hike quite well.
What you meant was a void without the Lord, right?
Yeah, it was a void. So I was one of those classic seeker people, vaguely spiritual. I definitely believed in a God, a higher power and designer, but I had no name for it.
For him,
yeah. I was aware of Jesus a little bit, but boy, there's a whole new dimension when you get real broken and desperate. All of a sudden it clicks. You go, Lord, I actually do need you, or I won't make it, or I will absolutely have no meaning in life, no identity. And I got to that point a little bit after the end of my 2,000-mile hiking experience.
Mm-hmm. How'd that come about?
What had happened is after I got done with the trail, you know, you achieve an amazing goal. It's very interesting to say I hiked from Georgia to Maine. That's, you know, over 2,000 miles. I achieved my goal, but I went into a relationship with someone that broke up pretty badly. And the whole reason she broke up with me is because she realized I wasn't really a Christ follower. Mm-hmm. I knew about it in my head only. And then she asked me, said, you don't really believe that Jesus Christ is God, do you? And I remember looking at her going, well, how should I know? I wasn't around 2,000 years ago.
That's a good way of responding.
It resulted in her moving out very soon, which is good for her, actually. She was smart to do that.
Uh-huh.
But it led me to go, wow, this is serious. I mean, she's leaving a lovely, charming guy like me because I don't believe Jesus is God. So I really, at 30 years old, had a sudden midlife crisis. And so a broken relationship with a lady is really what opened me up to take Jesus seriously, finally.
Mm. And how did that take place, Dane?
Well, I actually went to church with her. This is what people do when they get a breakup with a good Christian lady. You know, I need to go to church this weekend. It's Christmas week. I mean, so I got to this Assemblies of God church in Port Townsend, Washington. It was a really cold, rainy day. And something about, I was staring at the big, huge cross, the crucifix on the wall behind the pastor. And I just really fell to my knees. And I just was just overcome with like a conviction, emotion. And I literally said out loud, not real loud to the congregation, but loud to where I could hear, Jesus, you win. I've had enough of just messing up my life and trying to find meaning in all the wrong places. I said, I've went to college. I'm pretty well educated, all that stuff, but it has made no real difference. So I'm yours. I didn't know what that meant exactly, but all I knew is I was at my end. I've made more of a public confession of faith about 9 months later at a Billy Graham event in San Francisco, 1997. After that, I was like, oh, where's Bible college? Where do I go? I want to do something serious for the Lord and get to know that Bible A to Z.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very fervent because I've been waiting.
So where'd you go?
30 years. I didn't go to Bible college right away. There's a lot of things we did, but my wife and I did get married to a different person. Still married to her 18 years later.
Wow, that's awesome.
We worked at a Christian conference center, Cannon Beach, Oregon. And while we were working there, doing all kinds of split shifts and so forth, We met a receptionist at the front desk who said, have you guys, I know you're looking at Bible colleges and all that. Have you ever heard of Youth with a Mission, YWAM? They have these DTS programs, discipleship training schools that are 5 months long. And they're real practical, hands-on, and they always involve a mission outreach after the lecture phase is over. She handed us a book called The Go Manual, and they had every single operating location YWAM has in the world. And I love traveling, so my wife loves it. It wasn't long before I put the Bible college idea on the shelf for a couple years. We went to Colorado in about 8,000-foot altitude and did a DTS together.
That was quite a difference of living, right? Different change for you?
Yeah, we were at the beach, zero altitude, and then we're at 8,000 feet. The DTS was a real life changer. The discipleship training school, if you're open to it, if you're ready for it, if your heart's ready, it can be a very transformative experience. I don't know. I had not been a believer all my life. I wasn't in church all my life. So I was just taken aback by how powerful the gospel was, how powerful God could work through your gifts and the huge community that YWAM can be to people. I was fascinated by all the great guest speakers, for sure. I was even more amazed when we went to Nepal and Australia and just got our feet on the ground. It was just a life-changing thing, and so we came back into YWAM after Bible college. I decided mission organization like this was much more my cup of tea. Although I did really well at Bible college, just YWAM has always drawn me back in.
So YWAM's where you feel the Lord has called you to. And how long have you been involved with YWAM?
Overall, about a little more than six years. There's been like two tours, kind of like a military analogy.
What's a tour? Explain a tour.
We did almost 4 years in Virginia, Richmond, Virginia. I was an English as a second language teacher, helped a little with the ropes obstacle course, bringing youth groups through and so forth. Mainly, I just love international people, people who don't look like me or sound like me. I just feel more comfortable. 4 years that, and now almost two here in Chico.
Well, I'm going to stop for a second, and I'm going to welcome on my guest. Folks, I'm kind of had somebody I've asked to step in for a little while to learn, to help me with the program, to ask questions from time to time. And his name is Tori Tip, if you haven't already heard him. He was on last week. And Tori, do you have any questions for Dane this morning?
Oh, man, I'm just excited about what you guys got going on out there. I mean, I want to come out and see everything. I mean, I know about YWAM and what a great organization that is and how you're able to reach out and really... You know, when people are at a certain point in their life where they're maybe kind of where you were, you didn't know, they were searching, and they're at a place in their life where they actually really need some help. And to be able to extend that loving hand and arm of Jesus and reach out at a person's desperate point in their life and really make a difference, that's what I love about the gospel, where it says Jesus went about doing good. You know, he didn't just go, you know, around preaching or just praying for people. He went about doing good as well, healing all that were oppressed and other things. But when it says reaching out and doing good, Jesus was a carpenter, right? Raised by a carpenter. So I'm seeing Jesus doing some building and some other things with the disciples. Hey, let's build a little house for this widow, right? You know, I mean, he's going about doing good. And that's exactly what you guys do out there. So I'm just really excited about what you guys got going on.
Yeah. Speaking of the building, YWAM's not just, it is training's a big thing. Discipleship training is their core program, and there's a lot of secondary schools. Honestly, in YWAM, if you have any kind of gifting, let's say you're a skateboarder, they have skater DTS.
Rockin'
if
awesome.
You're a basket weaver, they probably have a BDTS, basket weaver's DTS. It's very open to if you have a vision, you feel like somebody's spoken a word over your life, you can pretty much with a few other team members, you're going to be allowed to run that course and try it out. It's not the kind of place that expects perfection and everything to be, we need a business plan 5 years ahead and everything's got to be, you know, I's have got to be dotted and so forth. Because that often puts people off and they they can drop away from ministry because it's too high of a hurdle just to, for somebody to let them test out their wings.
So is this kind of a place where people can search out their giftings?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
one of the coolest things, and I've recently got kind of on fire for a program called Mission Builders.
Yeah, talk a little bit about
that. I was a mission builder for a little while. Mission Builder is a volunteer program where anyone with any kind of skills and a willingness to live in community, that's important, it's a community up there, and in all of YWAM bases around the world, for up to 3 months, you can go up and you can use your carpentry skills. If you're a bookkeeper, gosh darn, we need people in the finance office. If you're into housekeeping, I mean, really, worship leading. So anybody young or old, we've had literally 80-year-olds in the laundry department.
Nice.
Seamstresses who can sew curtains and send them to Tijuana, Mexico.
Wonderful.
By the dozens.
I met one.
Yeah. I think you might have met her.
Yeah.
Janice. So really, it allows people to go, let me try this YWAM thing out. Plus, I believe in what they're doing. And so they use their, you know, skills, accounting, mm-hmm. carpentry, anything. And you can do that for up to 3 months. And then, unless you want to go back to your retired life and, you know, go back to the ranch or whatever, which is what a lot of people do. They come back every year, though, like migratory birds. Some people go on staff and make a real long-term commitment. They might take the DTS or the Crossroads older person's DTS. I've got to draw the contrast. One time my wife and I applied to a mission organization that required us to take a 500-question psychological test. It took hours to do this, and we had proctors in the room to kind of make sure we weren't cheating or something. I don't know how you cheat on those, but I guess you can. Anyway, after 500 questions, I was like, what is this? Youth with a Mission wants you to be stable and psychologically and emotionally sound, of course, but they have different ways of figuring out whether you're going to make it or not. Not just a long test, which really weeds a lot of people out in a negative way, I think. YWAM will let you try things out, so that's been a very awesome thing.
That's good. That sounds pretty interesting. So let's continue on with the testimony. So talk to us more, Dane, about your testimony.
Let me think. Maybe not even just my own, but a particular...
Yeah, you can share whatever you want. We've got an hour.
Yeah, a particular person. It's a testimony of someone recently. Back in Virginia in YWAM as an ESL teacher.
Explain that. Talk a little bit about being an ESL teacher.
Yeah, in our organization, once in a while you'll get a student from, you know, Korea or Brazil who is not actually a believer. They may think they are because they're a member of a church and so forth. But it could have been they hit this point in their life where they went, you know, I need to get better at English so I can advance myself in school or career. And this YWAM thing online looks like a really good price. I mean, $2,600 for 3 months of housing and food and all the textbooks. You know, and it looks kind of like it's Christian, you know, I can put up with that, but it looks like a really fun experience with lots of cool people. So they come here with that idea. But we saw one young Korean woman, she was about 30, 33 back then, who came in just, she wanted to advance her career. She worked for, I think, LG in South Korea. And she was real. She'd wear this hat and put it over her eyes, and she'd always be looking at the ground, sulking, looking really depressed and fragile. And she'd had a real hard time growing up with her dad, who was a pastor. There was just a real distance between her and her dad, and she just couldn't trust God or Jesus at all. Somehow she wanted to, but there was a wall. Long story short, after 3 months, we saw her over time warm up. The hat came off, the smiles came on, and by the very end of what was supposed to just be improving my English so I could advance in my career, she came to know the Lord and very publicly accepted Him, and as far as I know, still walking very closely with Him today.
Beautiful story.
That is. That's an awesome story.
So these things can happen in English. It's supposed to happen in DTS, but if it, you know, the Lord wants to do it anywhere, it doesn't matter. He's flexible.
True.
Very flexible.
True. So let's continue.
Yeah, my heart to share, bottom line is, I just look around me and I see a lot of like junior high age and teenage folks, you know, around Chico, but just all over. We have a program up there, not just Mission Building, but called 24/7, where you live the life, you know, the disciple life 24/7. For 5 or 6 weeks, teenagers come up, and not only are there teachings, they do a lot of work duties. And that sounds kind of like, well, why would I want to recommend all these kids to go up there and work in the kitchen and clean the rooms and clean the bathrooms and do all the lawn mowing? Well, I worked at the front desk a lot this past summer, and I would watch these teenagers and watch them, and I could tell a lot of them had never really done a day of serious work in their life. They just did a few chores around their house back home. And I saw them putting in, you know, a lot of hours and getting tired and, you know, kind of cranky. But I went, this program is amazing. I mean, you're learning about the discipled life, working in a kitchen, doing hands-on stuff. And they did camping trips. And they had guest speakers and so forth. So, again, that's what I think why I love YWAM is they're saying, hey, you're 14 or 15. Your parents want to send you somewhere for the summer that's going to be a really transformative camp. That's more than a week long. Try this thing. It's like $300 for the 5 or 6 weeks.
Wow.
Because the students are putting in a lot of work. That's how it keeps the price so low. And I'm thinking my own daughter would really benefit when she's about 14 from this program. And I'd be happy to fork out the money for this. Well, it's called 24/7.
Teaches them responsibility and stuff?
Oh, yeah, we hope so. Yeah. At least it teaches you how to work hard and prioritize the tasks, time management, and how to work with your coworkers without, you know, being violent. So.
Is there any qualifications to come to the camp? I mean, how do people get to decide, hey, I want to send my kids here, or kids want to go, or this young lady from South Korea, she came over. So how are they getting to you, or what do they need to do to be involved?
It's simple. It's as simple as the online applications. They're really...
So it's open to anybody.
Yeah, you definitely need a couple references. You don't absolutely need to be an on-fire Christian believer and show your doctoral statement. That's not the point. You just need to show that I'm open. I understand that I'm entering a Christian community that takes it pretty seriously and very hands-on. You know, the worship practice and so forth up there can get a bit, creative and powerful. And you know, some people are like, ooh, this is a lot of Holy Spirit here. You know, so we let them know that stuff up front, and then they have a couple good references. They sign their name, and it's really that simple. The people like human resources up there really listen, I believe, to the Spirit of God. They don't just look at down the resume thing, the references, and judge only based on that. They go, okay, is there anything I need to be, you know, hearing here from the Spirit? Most of the time, it's a yes answer. Once in a while, a person will go, there's just a check in my spirit about this application. But we really want to let the Spirit direct people into YWAM, and not just you have to show off with your amazing resume, which honestly you can have people make for you. So make it sound pretty amazing, and then you can see the person. What? This doesn't look like you. So it's that simple. Online application. You can write one in, you know, longhand if you want. We mail those out quite a lot, especially to international folks.
Christ Today listeners, it's good to have you on listening to the show today. I hope you're getting something out of it. We're talking a lot about YWAM, the purpose of YWAM, the mission of YWAM, and our guest is Dane. We're going to get back to him in a minute. But if you really love this show and you like hearing what you hear, feel free to call 894-7325 and let us know. We're on at you every week. We talk, we bring on special guests, important topics, good testimonies. Different people have something to share every week. And next week we'll have a good testimony as well. But we take the time to just encourage you in the Lord, encourage you in the faith, and lift up Christ. And we call it Christ Today because it's the good news. Not necessarily the good news, but the great news. We talk a lot about His grace, His love, His mercy, His forgiveness. And we've had a lot of wonderful, interesting shows. We've done over 40 shows for the year. And I started last November. If you like the show or you want to support it, feel free to call 894-7325. My name is Curtis Smith. The name of the show is Christ Today. Dane, we're back.
Hello again.
We have, and this is no exaggeration, we have another 39 minutes.
I've got a question for you.
Sure, go ahead, Tom.
What about, there's not just the local one here. I mean, we have YWAMs all over the planet, right? I mean, there's, I'm looking at your website and everything, and it says there's over 1,200 ministry centers all over the globe. So we're pretty privileged to have one of those 1,200 here.
Yeah, Chico. Yeah, Chico's one of about 1,200.
Wow.
Operate. We call them. That's a cool term. YWAM's good with acronyms, so we call them OPLOCs. OPLOCs, operating locations. So it can be anything from a large 500-acre campus like we have, although a lot of that's wild canyon lands with the mountain lions. Be careful. to three people in an office or an outpost somewhere in the middle of Africa. So it could. The point is that it's one of these kind of international organizations that's very hard for most people to get their head around. It's very flexible, moving. There's not obvious large facilities everywhere you go saying, youth with a mission, University of the Nations. That's our training arm, by the way. Mm-hmm. So the YWAM Chico base has been a best kept secret for what we've all felt up there way too long. We've been up there since 1988. We took over the management of the conference center from other people in 88. And you can't believe how many people come up there and go, I came here as a kid. Mm-hmm. I was part of a missionettes choir thing. And boy, I haven't been back in 30 years. I didn't even know you guys were still up here. And at first that's, oh, how cute. That's neat. You're like, no, this should not be a secret. We need to have retreats come up, conferences, a lot of discipleship schools running.
Which
mission trips
lot
going
that,
in and out of here, you know, that'd be what we want.
Didn't you used to have a lot of that going on?
YWAM, even since YWAM took over in 88, it's been primarily a conference center. You mm-hmm. bring up retreats, youth groups. Some of the conferences, even now we get 400 people per conference. Bethel's the most intense, busy week we're going to have here in a few weeks from Reading. But our emphasis is starting to shift to where we're having a lot more discipleship schools, sending teams out. You know, you'll see vans coming in, vans going out, airport runs. We want to really make it a mission base. It's a military term, and some people don't always like it, but base in the sense like you're in Antarctica, and you have to have a base before you do your expedition or your outreach. Mm-hmm. And you come back to it, you do your staff work, your staff duties, but your heart is always, I don't want to get too comfortable here on the base. The base is only a place you know, you live there. But you're always planning for how to go on the next trip and do the work that God has called you to do. And so, yeah, we're one of those bases. There's another over 1,000. I have a number here that there's over 16,000 full-time staff in the world.
Wow.
We have about 50, 55 up in Chico. And we're moderately large base, but 55 is not enormous either. But we have and none of them are paid.
Wow, it's all volunteer.
It's all churches that believe in what you're doing will sometimes get behind you on a monthly basis, maybe like some radio stations. And friends, family, even just coworkers you knew when you worked at a Walmart might go, that is so cool what you're doing. I love the type of ministry you're doing downtown with the homeless. I'll send 50 a month. Some people send less, some more. It can be a real stretch of your faith. I mean, I'll be honest, it's the one thing that it can weed people out of YWAM and other organizations like us. It's just very countercultural to raise money this way and to try to support yourself and your family this way. Mm-hmm. So I'll never want to smooth over. It's a difficult life. It's blessed and it's exciting, but it's...
challenge.
Yeah, you got to be ready and roll with a lot of ups and downs because of the finances.
Has there been times where you and your wife have felt like you weren't ready and where you had such a hard challenge where God has taught you to really become dependent on Him?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm not sure it's not that easy for me to admit stuff that, like weakness stuff or some pride there, I'll admit. But we left YWAM for a season back in Virginia just due to the financial stress. I wasn't very open to being interdependent. By the time I came into YWAM, I was in my mid-30s. I'd had good jobs. I'd been to college a lot. I had my own apartment and house, all that stuff. It's tough for some of us older, middle-aged people to go, and now I'm supported and by all these, even though I believe in my work, it's just really hard to get your brain around this. I'm depending on others for my income. Even though I'm busy working, it's a hurdle a lot of us struggle with. Maybe it's our Western culture. Some of us are just more independent-minded, and I think that's mainly my problem. I got a teaching credential, went into quite a bit of debt to do it. I'm still in some of that, with the intention of I'm going to be responsible, work a normal life, be a public school teacher. And I did pretty good in the credentialing program, but once I tried to teach young kids in a school, let me be honest, if the Lord has called you to do something in your life, even if you don't understand it, even if it seems impossible and crazy to everybody you know, I tested it and I went into more of a normal life and completely did not work out at all. And I kept hearing the voice going, hey, I'm never going to force you to follow me. You don't have to follow my call. And I'm not going to scream at you every day to do it. You know, I don't want robots. But I had a plan for you and a call for your life and your family. And this is the way. Walk in it. So I wake up in my mid-40s. You know, the Lord's really serious about these calls he puts on our lives. You know, and he doesn't yank on you all the time. But finally, the whispers in my ear became quite loud. And we came back to our first love, which was missions work. And or my main thing is equipping others for some of the outreach. I'm just a real educator type. But my wife and I are both have travel bugs still, even in our older age. And we're looking forward to getting out of Chico for a while, doing some mission work, you know, outreaches and so forth.
So where are you planning on going next?
Well, there's talk of China. Mm-hmm. I can't give exact locations and people's names because China is still that very, you have to be careful. But there's quite a push up at our base to send, we've actually sent quite a few teams the last 2 years to China, starting like a business's mission kind of thing. China will, I don't think they mind if you're a Christian. They think they kind of assume, well, most Americans are Christians because they're in the United States, which we know is kind of silly. But they go, it's okay. As long as you don't share your faith too fervently, and if you can turn a profit at a business that's going to benefit our people and our government, they apparently are very open to English teachers, businessmen who sell software, computer stuff. It's quite an open field right now. So we're exploring that quite seriously. Like, how do we go to China and, you know, be there for a pretty good length of time and spread the light? But you have to do it in a different way than you can do it in the States, for sure. Mm. So that's on the that's on my heart to do China. My wife is just as excited about that, and I'm also kind of in love with Brazil. Been 3 times, and I wouldn't mind doing some more work down there, teaching English. I've never been able to do it long term. You go for these 1 month trips, it's like then you're back home. You're like, oh.
What have been some of your experiences on some of these trips that you've gone to and done? What have been some of your experiences?
Oh, my. The most dynamic one would have been in during our DTS outreach in the year 2000. We went to Nepal with a team of 8, about 10 other people. And Nepal was an eye-opener, a Hindu culture, major culture shock. I'll be honest, a few incredible illnesses, that kind of thing, the thing you might expect when you go to a developing nation. And, you know, we've been living on everything sanitized here in the cities of the States. The thing I remembered there was going through these remote villages and, of course, having all these children following you. But I'll never forget the day I pulled out, I have a picture dictionary. I had a laminated picture dictionary, a miniature one that was used to help teach English. I wasn't an English teacher, an ESL guy, but I had a funny feeling that was where I was headed. And I just remember 3 or 4 little kids getting around me and how instant and easy it was to connect with people who don't know English or from a culture that couldn't be any further removed from my own. And simply the language I grew up with and took for granted, and I had, you know, I can't take credit for, oh, yes, I have this English language under my belt. And no, I was born in it, and now I realize what a blessing it is, apparently, to people. And then that can lead to sharing, you know, Jesus, which is really the whole point of life. It isn't just, I need English so I can, you know, do whatever I want in my life and live for myself. But, I mean, I could come up with a dramatic story, maybe, of someone falling off a cliff and, you know, illnesses and river rafting, but those quiet things where you sit, you have little kids and they want to learn a few words in English and they follow you around, those quieter things can really have a long-term, you know, life change thing. And that's what happened for me. I went into the ESL thing pretty hard and heavy after that and got a certificate and everything. But it started with walking through a village with a dictionary.
Wow.
In Nepal.
Mm. So what have been some of the things you've seen on some of these trips? What have been some experiences, but some revelations that God has given you, or some things that you've seen on some of these trips that have really gotten your attention, maybe even where God has used you in ministering to some of the people on these trips that you've been on?
Oh, off the top of my head, in Brazil, was working with a team of English teachers, but sometimes on Sundays they'd let us bring the message in the worship hall at the training center. And I remember students coming up. I had shared a testimony about my wife and I lost our first child. She was only 9 hours old, and sepsis. Infection just took over her whole body. She stopped breathing. The brain went, so it was a horrible experience. But I used that testimony as part of a bigger message. And after the message, I had a member of one young man came up and just, he had a lot of tears in his eyes. And something I had said, the Spirit had said, really touched him. And he just really wanted to recommit his life to Christ. He said he'd been playing games for a long time, not taking it all that seriously. And he just said something that I had said just really got to his heart. And I thought, this is so much more important than only dispensing the latest in English grammar.
That's
the kind of stuff you go to your grave going, I'll never forget that young man coming up after the service. Because that horrible grief experience is what opened his heart. So it's, again, not a real loud, dramatic thing, but I remember those things more than... I saw someone's leg grow out when I put my hand on them. Those things happen. I didn't see it personally. But I've always seen the Lord work in quieter ways, at least with my wife and I.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. Another outreach. Yeah, I don't have a lot of stuff on the top of my head. I could try to think. Stuff will come to me, though.
Is there like someone or a few people that have went through the program and have went on to become or do something great for the kingdom? Or do you think anybody that comes to mind that went through the program that you were a part of that comes back now and helps out?
Right. Oh, okay. They were a DTS student or a mission builder, and then you didn't think much of them back then, but then, hey, they're going for it now. Yeah, we've had... I had one student come in. Sometimes you'll get a student or two in the discipleship training schools. We've seen them where they're very quiet and introspective and angry, and they have a lot of issues. I mean, we all have issues.
Sure.
Some people it's really more obvious than others. And if they can hang in there for the 11, 12 weeks and go on the outreach, I do remember one guy, I can't remember his name, he was just one of those guys you couldn't connect. He didn't want to connect with you.
Mm-hmm.
You'd make jokes and he'd just like, whatever. He just had been through something back home all his life. But he would go, he went on outreach, and I think so much can melt in your heart that's hard. A lot of ice can really melt when you go, wow, here are people they are drinking water. The only water they can drink is something that poisons them.
Mm.
And the food they're eating once a day makes them sick.
Mm.
And this,
wow.
So I've seen a boy like that just, wow, he comes back all, I still have issues, I still have resentments, and I'm learning to forgive my parents back home and all, but they have this new appreciation for just their daily life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen them come on staff, make a 2-year commitment, and then they're working with a 24/7 youth camp or DTS themselves. And believe me, they're not the person you would have thought when you first met them that could do that.
Hmm.
So that's why we get excited up at YWAM when young people come in, and you don't try not to judge by first impressions, because you don't know what the Lord's going to do in the weeks. I mean, the reason they're up there is so there can be a transformation.
Mm-hmm.
So we yeah. don't, you know, Jesus didn't call all the, if you're well adjusted and polite and you look in people's eyes all the time, then you can, you know, follow me.
No.
He probably like, you who's always looking at the ground angry, you know, follow me.
Yeah.
So YWAM gets a lot of, we do get a lot of people who are a little bit broken, wounded, that maybe other places wouldn't give a chance to. I've already talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I'm there. I mean, I'm not, I can talk and teach and all, but there's brokenness. I have some stuff in there. And I'm so grateful that I've been able to find a way to do God's work in a place where they're not, we want you to be perfect first.
Yeah.
And it's not like that.
So what areas have maybe you experienced some healing in your own life by being a part of YWAM DTS? Has God done some healing and some ministering in your life, which has caused you to be a, you know, have more, to be the person that you are and growing as you are? I mean, has God done some personal healings in your life?
Yeah, it's good you mentioned, DTS, that was a long time ago. After all we went through on our DTS team with the illnesses there was so much fun and exciting adventure in Nepal and Australia. The transformation, I remember at graduation, you know, I could have shared about, we saw this person get healed in the marketplace in Kathmandu, and wow, I could have. But what I shared was, there was a lack of unity on the team. And there were, like, I couldn't, like, personally, I had a hard time with one of my leaders. Just a personality conflict. We just picked up different radio stations, basically. I picked up FM, she was on AM, or AM or FM. I don't want to offend you, AM. I love AM. It's actually what I have on most of the time. And you have friction, like sandpaper. But what happened by the end of the outreach is all of those little problems between me and her were basically resolved. I mean, we had a nice long talk. I asked for forgiveness. She asked for forgiveness. And this wasn't just with the leader. There's a couple other staff that drove me nuts too, and they didn't like me either. And we all said, we're all Christian brothers. We know this theoretically, but in real life, under pressure with no sleep, you still are going to lash out at people and say little sarcastic comments under your breath, and they're going to hear that and go, oh, yeah, right. But I remember sharing that was about reconciliation. If there was one word that I can bring back from DTS, was I was reconciled with everyone I had had any friction with. And this all happened as part of a very dynamic, exciting outreach. It wasn't in a counseling office or a nice, quiet, pastoral setting. You know, we had all that friction in the field, and then we reconciled in the midst of real life, you know, moving a million miles a minute. Because God has the power, Jesus has the power through his Spirit, just to thaw these hard hearts of ice and, you know, get that anger. Once you talk about it and pray about it, I mean, it's kind of hard to stay really angry at someone, even if your personalities don't click.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it was.
You learn to get over it quickly.
So healing for me would be, if I had one besetting sin, you know, some people come in, my sin is drug addiction, or I can't stop looking at those magazines and movies. Mine was never that. It's always been a critical spirit. I'm a writer, I'm a teacher. My parents were both psychologists. Yeah. So their main line all growing up was, that's your problem. That's not my problem, that's your problem. You know, this kind of, and they're all very psychological, very smart people. I'm grateful. But it helped me have a very skeptical, almost jaded, cynical look at life sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I would get tired and challenged during the mission trip, when I should have been at my most Holy Spirit-filled and warm-hearted, I would go, these leaders, they don't really know what they're doing. They're too young for this. Or that person over there, I don't think they're really a believer, really. They're just playing games. And I didn't like it, but it was a besetting sin. It's in you. It's part of your fabric. And you're like, Lord, there's a scripture. Oh, Lord, yeah, Paul is crying out, deliver me from this body of death. It's like, you know you're lost and you're tied up in this, but Jesus, just break me free from this. Mm-hmm. I don't like it, and I'm trying hard not to be a jerk, but boy, with you come to realize you really need God to break you free from this kind of stuff. No amount of willpower and mantras, you know, played over and over on your tape recorder through the night is going to do the job. It's going to be from the Spirit of through Jesus. It's not going to be any other method that humans can come up with. Otherwise, why would we need a Savior?
You got that right. Amen. And we do, because we're lost and in such a mess that we don't have Christ on our side. Tor, anything you can think of?
Well, just kind of to bring back to the discipleship training school that mm-hmm. you've got going on. Did you, you might mention again, if you haven't already, of the different curriculums that you have available for people to come take a part of and maybe get a little direction.
Yeah, this is, perfect. One thing the DTSs have, even though they're held at hundreds and hundreds of locations, the one at Chico, for example, starts next week. It's about 19 or 20 students, I think. A lot of different ages. Some have kids. The parents are bringing their kids. But the curriculum is very consistent. I'll just read it real quick. Nature and character of God. The first week, they just, wow, they get deep. They go, who is God? What is he like? His attributes. And the point is you want to show that not only is he sovereign and amazingly powerful, he's got a father's heart, a tender father's heart. And a lot of people come into DTS with a lot of weird ideas about who God is. And so right away, the discipleship training will bring you to, now who is God really? Let's look objectively all over the Bible and so forth to find out who are you really following. Hearing the voice of God is a big emphasis the second week. The idea being that you can hear the voice of God for yourself, and as long as it checks out with Scripture, doesn't contradict it. The Spirit is very current. He's very fluid. And if he wants to speak a word over your life, like, I really think you need to go into working at the Jesus Center with folks who have no homes, have really nice bicycles, but they don't have home. I really believe you're called to do that. And as long as that doesn't contradict Scripture, you know, you should be allowed to try that, you know, did I hear that correctly?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is learning how to discern whether it's really God speaking or if it's just the burrito you had last night or whatever it might have been.
Actually, burrito sounds good.
Yeah, Aka Taco. Yeah, I'll put out a word. I love them.
There's a taco truck right out here.
A taco That's truck good. Over by DeGarmo Park's good, too. We have YWAMers know all the cheap taco trucks. We love them. Biblical restoration, how to restore your relationships, like I was just talking about. Maturity in Christ, how to get off the milk and start doing, you know, eating the meat of the word mm-hmm. and discipleship, not just stay in the shallows your whole life, which is pretty tempting to do, I'll admit. Evangelism, so halfway through the DTS, they start, there's a lot more focus on actually going out and, you know, one-on-one with people on the street, or, I mean, there's even internet evangelism, as we probably know now. There's so many ways to talk to people about the Lord, and but still the priority is one-on-one, face-to-face. And how to do that in a culturally sensitive way, taking into account how people grew up and so forth. Intercession and prayer, you don't just learn how to pray, it's how to pray for other people.
Amen.
And not just other people, but entire nations. Companies, organizations.
Yep.
Sometimes it's awkward in my experience to go, I'm praying for Cambodia. I mean, where do you start? Well, there's ways of doing that. They teach you, like, well, here's how you can get specific. You do some research. You listen for the Lord and go, what about Cambodia's situation right now, politically or economically, do we want to pray into? It's a big learning curve for some of us to get out of praying just for our own needs or for, mm-hmm. you know, for our mom or something.
Yeah.
Spiritual warfare is taken very seriously in the DTS. That we definitely believe there is an enemy. There is a lot of darkness that will try to thwart everything you're doing for the Lord and in your walk. And right before outreach, they start teaching this a lot, because they said, you may think you're having some resistance now on the YOM base, but once you get on that airplane and go into another culture, that's where the disunity, the nightmares, things can really go bad if you're not prepared, have your armor on. Building and maintaining godly relationships. Again, that's, again, about unity with people. We can all be off on our own Lone Ranger ministries doing amazing things with incredible giftings, but be fighting with each other the whole time in our churches, in our teams and families, which is a lot of non-believers don't give us a chance because they go, well, you have a lot of gifts, but you're kind of just like me, and you know, you're arguing with your wife all the time and your boss and saying sarcastic things on Facebook. So they're saying that's a really big priority. Relationships are key, and you can't just go into ministry and let the relationships kind of go by the wayside. And finally, completing the Great Commission. I think there's a strong belief in YWAM that we, I don't know if we could say that as soon as the evangelistic task is done and we've reached every single people group in the world, immediately Jesus comes back. That I sure hope that's how it works. And there is a, because I don't think we as humans totally understand, there's a scripture, I think in Matthew, about once the word has gone out to nations, all people, then the end will come. So there's a serious urgency to like Get a DTS teaching. We don't want to go too far then go, it could happen next week. It could, but we want to go, no, there's a long, you got to be planning for the long term to save the world, but also realize it's pretty dang urgent and people are dying every hour.
Right.
So they try to instill a balance, but definitely err on the side of urgency, not on, well, you know, we have another 1,000 years to tarry around, so... There is that kind of urgency that YWAM wants to build in.
It's good.
So. And it's just not getting the salvation message around the world. It's getting the message of the kingdom around the world. Because he said until the message of the kingdom was preached. And the kingdom message still has to go around. There's still places, but time is getting shorter. I mean, I don't care if it's another 5 or 10 years. Time is getting much shorter. And so to have that focus and to have that vision that I want to be all God wants me to be now, not wait, like I waited for years. There's a lot of things I'm still learning now that I should have learned a long time. But God had his hand on me ever since I was a kid. He wanted to use me in ministry and stuff, and a lot of it was kicking against the go-ads. Kicking, not being submissive, not being willing to learn and willing to listen and willing to receive a lot of what God wanted to do in my life in my younger years. So now he is... got me at a place where it could be a possible transition going on in my life at this moment. Time will tell. But it's good to have someone like you, Dane, come on the show today and talk with us about YWAM and about the Mission Builders Project and about DTS and Crossroads and different programs for different people that are interested in getting involved in something for the Lord. And letting him work out the details as to when he's coming back and stuff. The Bible says we occupy until he comes. And I want to thank... Tori for helping me with today's show.
Sure,
but we got a few minutes left, and we've got about 9 minutes left. So I'm going to take a break. I'm going to come back, see if there's anything on Dane's heart to share, and we'll pretty much wrap it up. All right, listeners, you've been listening to Christ Today, KKXX 930 AM, 104.5 FM. We're talking to you. The show's for you. And if you're encouraged by the show, feel free to call 894-7325. Let us know. If you are wanting to support the show, get behind it, we'd love to have that. We always would love it when I've had several people lately that have felt led to give a little here, a little there. And as you know, now we're doing two shows. We're doing today Paradise for the Young at Heart, and we're also doing Christ Today. If any of my seniors are listening out there and you don't hear the Paradise Today show, it's every Saturday morning at 6:30. And love to have you guys turn into that. We're going to get back to the program. So if you've want to feel free to call and say anything or encourage or uplift or whatever, 894-7325, and be glad to get those calls. All right, Dane, we are back. And anything else that you want to say in these last few moments?
Yeah, I keep thinking of people who are older than me. I'm 49, and I just remembered a couple that comes down from Canada. I think it's Canada or northern Minnesota every year. There are two professional people. The woman was a dietitian, and the husband was a contractor. And they come down like migratory birds when it gets too cold up north. And in their 70s, he's fixing our buildings, and she's sewing and doing an incredible amount of laundry and laundry repair. And it really does excite me to see people who are retired who don't have to work anymore. They don't have to hurt their backs or, you know, get blisters and live in community housing and so forth, willing to come to a YWAM base like ours. And so I just would put out a call for anyone who's just, you know, I want my retirement to count for more, and there's just something missing in it, to say, and not just YWAM Chico, there's a lot of ways to do this, a lot of places. I'm not a mission builder anymore, and I'm not the head of it, I don't run it, but it has just been on my heart, and I think the Lord put it there for a reason. But I want to warn anyone out there listening who's older that you might get so excited, you may want to do a Crossroads DTS. I call it the middle-age DTS, or people with kids DTS. But there's also people who come in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, and they go through the program alongside the younger people. But they also have like special sessions, and there's an emphasis for the people who've had some serious life experience already. So we've seen 70-year-olds go on trips overseas, go into inner cities, and they can actually come out of retirement, basically. So be careful. If you don't want to come out of retirement and possibly sell your house, but it could happen if you have God's passion for what we're doing, then you may go, I'd happily get out of this comfort zone. I mean, it's just going to be coasting till the end, and a lot of people don't want to coast till the end. They want to be useful and occupy it till he comes, even in their 70s.
There's
That's
a concept.
That's what it says.
Right. Well, not only that, the word also says that there's none that leaves family, homes, etc. in this life that you won't receive double for it in God's kingdom. So, I mean, he pays well.
Yes, I make jokes sometimes, and I'm not sure they're proper jokes, but I sometimes have a picture of St. Peter. I get to the gate, and he goes, here's your gift card. I'm like, oh, you are? Oh, that's great. I've wondered what this has all been for, and he gives you this amazing Target gift card. So I hope it's not Target. It's something more exciting. But
it's the heaven, heaven store. So
yeah, God's Mart.
God's Mart. God's there you go. We'll go with that.
One of our foundational values that I particularly embrace, especially as I have an ESL students coming next week from three different countries, is foundational value number 12, which is do first, then teach. This can mainly primarily mean that you don't have to have your degree and have everything figured out and credentialed before you begin teaching others. That's the common interpretation of that. But it can also be for like an English teacher or discipleship teachers, go and do it, even if you're going to make some mistakes, then from all that experience, that's your credentialing process. That can be your education. Then you can teach others. But you don't wait two or three or four years or even more. It's not like you're trying to be a surgeon where you need, really, please train for 12 years before you do brain surgery on my brain, please. Mm-hmm. But for God's work, he calls the fishermen.
Yes.
Come, follow me. You know, and pretty quick, they're doing pretty intense deliverance ministries.
Yes.
And they didn't take a long credentialing program to do that. They did it, then they taught others, and it's just multiplying. Yeah. And I just love that. So my ESL students, this emphasis coming up will not be just, you're in the classroom, open up your grammar books, we're studying for 3.5 hours, and you have some pages 373 through 375 due tomorrow. That's comfortable, and honestly, students prefer that. They like the safety of that textbook and those assignments. But you learn after a while, the fruit comes from, you need to go into Walmart. You need to go into not the liquor store, how terrible. Well, maybe, you know, as long as that's not your stumbling block. Go in there and chat with the cashier, with the box boy. And here's, you know, give them a script to follow, but go do it. You'll mess up. It'll feel awkward. I know. I was in some countries and messed up my language, and they laughed at me. But then you're like, I did it. I know the words, and I know how to reply, and do first. Then we'll teach you more of the higher grammar stuff out of the textbook. So that's just a spirit, I think, that's in our organization generally. But ESL's on my mind because it's next week.
Yeah.
So do it first. Don't just sit there with a book.
Yeah. Anything else?
Well, did you guys have any questions about that you've always wanted to know about those those YWAM people or, you know, about the organization as a whole or what, you know, any questions or things you've heard that maybe you want cleared up?
Not that I can think of. No. No. Mm-hmm. And if you and I are going to be together a little bit later, if I do, I'll ask you then. But mm-hmm. not that I can think of. If there's somebody out there that may have been taught that YWAM teaches some things that may not be on the up and up and stuff, and they may have some problems with some of YWAM's beliefs or YWAM system, what would you say to them about that?
Yeah, the one that would come to mind is I went to Bible college at a, it's very funny to look at, I went to a very conservative, what the professors would call themselves as, well, we're kind of fundamentalist, real cranky fundamentalist type Christian guys, but you know, they know the word very well, and I really actually enjoyed my time at this particular Bible college a lot. It wasn't my style, but I loved it in many ways. But their problem with YWAM was, from their perspective, was that you guys still think that all those spiritual gifts are alive and active today. You know, there is a belief even now after, you know, we think we're so progressive, but there's a...
Thank you, Dane.
Yeah. They think the gifts for when they had to get the gospel out initially in the Mediterranean regions. But after that, thousands of years ago, there was really no need for any more of this wild Holy Spirit charisma stuff. So yeah, YWAM is not shy generally about the fact that we do want to hear a fresh word from the Lord for each and every individual believer. But the big protection, I guess, there are some people who, oh, I heard a word, and they just go and they do these insane things, and they weren't really a word from the Lord. There is a lot of leadership and accountability groups to try to keep. We want people, and most of YWAM are visionary people. They're pioneers. They say, hey, I'm sick of just talking about it. Let's do something.
Right.
But that can lead to a few people who do things way too quickly without a team around them to, you know, balance that out. But yeah, that one misconception would be that we're so charismatic and wild Holy Spirit people that that we're out from beyond the bounds of Scripture. And I'm a pretty linear-minded, quieter, introverted person. I'm not one who operates in like speaking in tongues or wild, incredible worship expressions. I'm not that way at all. But I'm still in Youth with a Mission and love it. And I can assure people that you don't have to worry that YWAM is some crazy cult or out there somewhere in la-la land. But on the other hand, Jesus did tell us that people will call you crazy or they'll think that the gospel is foolishness and mm-hmm. the cross is foolishness. And if you take it too seriously and really change your life and do some radical thing like sell your car or your house, that... It just seemed that if you read the scriptures for what they are, black and white right there, the more ordinary Christian in the Bible is a pretty radical, wacky sort of believer. And I have to remind myself to get a little bit more wacky, for lack of a better word, a little more radical and wacky and not be so safe all the time.
God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So
yep.
I'm grateful those gifts are still in operation.
Me too. Well, folks, that's going to do it for this week's show. We're going to say a prayer and end this program. So, Tori, you want to pray us out?
Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the opportunity that we had today with Dane here in the studio with YWAM, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for this time that we had together, Lord, that it be a blessing in the lives of those wonderful listeners on KKXX Radio. We ask you, Heavenly Father, that maybe they heard something today that would move upon their hearts, that where they want to get involved and to be a part of YWAM and the vision and the hope that is in Christ Jesus of spreading the gospel, not only here in Northern California, but throughout the world. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that for your Holy Spirit going forth and causing these divine appointments to come together, Lord God, that... I speak life and plead the blood of Jesus over YWAM and the operational center here, and that you would move in a mighty way, Lord, in people's lives and to open their hearts and soften their hearts to the gifts and the wonderful things that you have for them, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, for the finances for YWAM, that they're always there, Lord, because you are, they're doing your work. They are giving of themselves selflessly to further the kingdom and bring souls into the kingdom of God, that they also might have that eternal life that is found through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll give you the praise and the glory for it. Now be blessed as you go. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.